Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. We have such a fun guest tonight, Mystic Pete. Mystic Pete is a radio host. He's a cellist, he's a musician, a very big, you know, fan, supporter, contributor to the arts, and has his own radio show, an actual radio, not internet radio like we have here, in Southern California. And he's also a DJ. And he's going to talk with us tonight sort of about the mystical pathways that he's discovered. He has some really cool tools for helping us all get sort of more turned on to the mystical path. And we're going to talk about sacred sexuality as being part of that pathway. I just been reading his book called Mystic Pete Chronicles, Book One, Sex and Mysticism, which is available on his website. And it's so fun and so fun. I've just been enjoying the heck out of it this week. So super happy to have you on the show with me today, Mystic Pete. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa.
So your book is so cool and funny and sweet. And we were just talking about how I just didn't expect you to be as funny as you are. Your reading was like literally, I was cracking up the whole time. Aww. That I was reading your book. And I really, really wanted you to make an audio of it because it's so conversational and fun, and I wanted to hear you speak it. So I hope that you do that.
Thank you so much.
Want it on Audible.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your life. How did you come to be Mystic Pete?
Well, just the real short version. As a teenager, I just had some kind of explosive mystical openings. And, there's honestly not that much training for people who are having transcendental experiences. And it can be very hard and disconcerting. And I think a lot of people end up kind of going crazy because there's just no context or drugged or something. But I've worked very hard to try to understand what happened and develop my powers and get strong and be able to teach other people. And like so many others these days, it's ended up doing a whole lot of other things. I work a lot in the arts. I do sound baths, and I'm a radio host and very involved with the DJ scene and the rave scene and that whole edgy, West Coast kind of community. And teaching mysticism and also sacred sexuality. It's just it's kind of exploding out here in LA and on the West Coast, I'm sure around the country and around the world, almost as an answer to just all the kind of abuse and misbehavior that's happening on the kind of old paradigm level that's kind of in charge of the world. But I think we're digging deep, and a lot of us are finding that the answer is really in this kind of sensual world, which is maybe more of the goddess world. And so very involved with that. And I'm a sex worker, so a lot of things.
Well, I think that's really interesting what you said, that sort of this polarity of like the profane aspect of sexuality, which would be like sexual abuse and all the allegations that are coming out all over the place. That's like how we take sexuality down the dark path, and maybe to heal that we need sacred sexuality, right?
As I say, it's an answer. I think there was a time in some civilizations, maybe ancient Greece or so, where sex was in the temples. There were sex priests and priestesses, and it was understood that these are very advanced people who are healers who have to be very resolved to be able to work in this area. So they were honored and, like they were some of the top priests, really.
Right.
But you can see just a symptom of the broken nature of society and sexuality, because right now sex work is in the gutter and it's shameful, and the women involved are abused and the men are shamed or thrown in jail. And if you're a man who's doing it, well, people kind of roll their eyes at you. You know, it's like there's no context at all. And we're also all so hurting on this level. We're just completely broken, either by this kind of adolescent sexuality that's all about sensationalism and some kind of extreme notion and almost pornographic on the one hand, and on the other, reactivity, sexual hatred, sexual condemnation. But there's a middle way, and that's where sex is loving and kind and intense and full body, but sweet and loving, and you feel nurtured and filled by the experience and the contact.
Well, I'm super happy to, and I think it's super cool that you sort of outed yourself as a sex worker, because that is something that, like, I know, you know, you're talking, that's not always easy to say, right? But you're talking, I think the way you're describing your sexuality, the way that you is like as a high priest or a high priestess, like how we can do that, and kind of reclaiming the restorative, regenerative power of that as sexual healing, like, right? So the kind of sex work you're talking about sounds to me like sexual healing work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the first wave of it. And I think what has to be understood is the gateway is kindness and emotions and adoring each other. It's not just some kind of like extreme sexual wild, ooh, you know, it's like first hold each other, connect, breathe together for 5 minutes or an hour or 6 months, connect deeply emotionally. It's the heart which is the gateway into just worlds of fantasy and wonderful sexual experience. And let me say also, the sexuality isn't merely about having sex. It's an underlying creative force that animates us. You know, in India they talk about it as Shakti or Kundalini. It's always there. It's the creative, explosive, life-giving force that doesn't need a partner. It doesn't even need, like, to have sex to feel this vibrant, dynamic, passionate quality of life. And sex work ultimately has to do with finding that inner enchantment and releasing it.
I loved how you talked about sort of the like or creative energy of sex, and I was thinking, like, I love quantum physics, and you know, I sort of a hobby of mine in a very layman's non-sciencey kind of way, but I was thinking the other day about how the Big Bang was probably just like a giant orgasm.
I love that.
What if that's what it was? Like, what if the world, what if the cosmos was created on the wave of a giant orgasm? Like, that's the truth behind the Big Bang.
You'd need quite a big condom for that one. But I love this notion that there's something about the universe itself that's very erotic and sexual. And I think religion, at least on Earth, has severed sexuality and the ecstatic and the transcendental. And it's caused this schism, which really destroys us and makes us violent, actually. But as a mystic, you know, I do a lot of, like, kind of traveling into what I call the dimensions. Out there, it's very erotic. It's wild. It's this playful, fun, you know, it's spirited. And so almost the fabric of the universe is sexual. And it's almost like you don't really even need to do anything to feel this powerful primordial force. You just kind of need to heal up and clear away some of the garbage, and there it is, passion.
I love that. That's cool. So it makes sense to me that mysticism and sexuality are very close together. I think that sex is like one of the paths up the mountain, you know? But tell us a little bit how for people that may be new to that concept, like, how in your mind do you blend mysticism and sexuality? How do they go together?
Good question. Well, first, it's definitely one of the pathways to tap in to a wondrous heavenly dimension. I mean, obviously, when you're in love, everything seems enchanted. Everything's beautiful. There's a kind of a flow and a music to life. I mean, this is the way religious experience is described. So just being in love, and even having good sex, it's magical. There you are. You don't need a church, or you don't need to bow down to anybody. In fact, it's almost good sexuality is almost subversive, because it takes the power away from those who want to, you know, have you enroll in their religion, because it brings all of your power back into you.
I mean, that's an interesting thought. Like, it does make you wonder whether some of the major religions have forbidden sex, because we can find our own way to God back that through that path, right?
Yeah, and of course, on the one hand is passion and release and a dynamic experience, but on the other hand is good choices and discipline and really honoring and respecting this volcanic force. So I'm not talking about promiscuity. I'm not just talking about having sex with everybody. I'm not talking about pouring olive oil all over LA and everybody having a big orgy, although I've thought about doing that. But where was I? It's attempted humor. You pitched me as this great humorist, and I'm trying to find some good jokes here.
Yeah, your book was super funny. I was laughing the whole time. It was really good. But I love, like, you know, what you're saying about heart open sex. And I think there's like a, you know, there are so many misconceptions we have about, I don't know, sexual healing and what, you know, like we might think that tantra, I know you haven't said that word, but that we sort of think that's like this crazy orgy, like no boundaries, disconnected. And it's not really like that at all. And it's really clear in your book that you're talking about heart connected, loving love, right? I mean, ultimately, I mean, that we call sex making love. Do you think that actually it does that? When we do it right?
You're creating love. I love that. You're making love. Yes. Yeah. And I think people who were involved in sacred sexuality, it's really a pioneering endeavor right now. We're kind of hacking through the vines and forests. People are going in the wrong direction, and there's some casualties because there's no map. And I think even in like this community, which I'm not that involved with the tantric community, because I don't know, there's a few little maladaptive phase. I mean, on the one hand, you have people trying to have some kind of authoritative, legitimate tantra based on ancient lineage. It's nonsense, because there's nothing back there. There's no sacred text to look and read. I mean, if you go back a couple of thousand years to when some of this stuff was written, it was a time of slavery and women were considered property. The consciousness wasn't there to inform us right now. We have to find it right now. We're going to the future where this nobody's been there, and it's changing constantly. We have to explore ourselves and find for ourselves our own sexuality and our sexual power. So if you're looking for some kind of legitimate thing, it's not there. So there's that kind of people trying to kind of brand it and trademark it. It's a wild endeavor, and people do the wrong things. But as long as you always have consent, always approach it with kindness and maturity, I think you're on the right path. And then, of course, I think some people in sex work have not spent the time to resolve themselves sexually, emotionally, spiritually. So they bring a lot of kind of junk to the table. So finding somebody who is mature, who's not pushing their own agenda, who's not trying to get themselves attention when they haven't done their own emotional work, you know, because, look, I'm a Dakini now. And, you know, it's like work on yourself. Figure out yourself sexually, and then you can start to teach others. Anyway, I'm crabby. I'm complaining.
Yeah, I feel you. Like I certainly know some bad examples in that world of people that are, I think, are scary and intentionally causing harm or unintentionally causing harm because they, like you said, they haven't done their inner work, and so they don't really know. And sadly, I think we as a society and people run a lot of our shadow through our sexuality.
Beautifully
the shadow
put.
Of our psyche gets played out in sexuality. You can just sort of look at how violent or demeaning or, you know, whatever, like whatever porn and all that kind of stuff can, and even in people's personal sex lives, the shadow needs to be cleaned up, and it's often not, right?
Well, exactly. And we're in an entire system which is completely chaotic and broken sexually. And as I say, we have to somehow feel our way through this mess to find something authentic and kind and responsible and passionate. It's really, as I say, we're kind of pioneers now, and people do go off in the wrong direction. But we have to do this. We have to find our way back to this temple of Eros. And I think, you know, read stories about Dionysus. It's just like when things get too corrupt and people are worshiping like petty and trivia and money and materialism, Dionysus comes along with his parade of satyrs and maenads and causes hysteria and panic, and the whole thing kind of like gets reduced back to something simple and authentic and beautiful. That's about to happen because we're just so distended right now. But I'll just tell you a little example about what kind of healing can happen with good, like, sexual work. A woman came to me, and she had some problems with her relationship, her last relationship, and ever since then, there was some abuse. And she has panic. She had panic attacks every time she went out in public. Mm. So a lot of emotional problems, physical problems, somehow get bolted to our sexuality. Mm. And by the way, as an aside, I think it's really important for people to have really good sexual experience regularly, as often as they want it. It just makes you feel good. Mm. But with this one woman, we did a session, and of course, I asked permission. I check in a lot. Usually they say, stop asking me, just stop asking permission, just do it. So she was kind of lying still for most of the hour and a half session, and it felt like something was happening, and then afterwards, she said it was like some quiet, deep, full-body orgasm she'd never experienced before. The table was soaking wet, and she said after that, all the panic attacks disappeared. Wow. So something kind of got like stuck in her womb or uterus, and it was just breaking up her social interaction. And you could see, like, you could go to therapy for years sometimes and, or like, live with this kind of dysfunction. You don't quite know what it is, but if it has a sexual root, I mean, where are the healers that can kind of hold you in that place of repair so
yeah,
you can,
beautiful.
You know,
and
come
like
back to well-being?
One of my friends told me once some men hurt and other men come to heal, you know, and it that seems like that you're in that maybe helping her in that moment. Trust, you know, trust again and have the body trust, like at a very deep level. And it's just my theory, you know, that I feel like for women, sexual trauma gets stored actually in the G-spot, you know, and G-spot work can be super healing for people for men in the prostate, but for people that have had that are holding sexual trauma in their body, that's where it lives.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Sometimes
so,
I'll touch a woman. By the way, again, consent, slow. This might happen over 3 or 4 or 10 sessions, but sometimes I'll touch someone there and they say, I cannot feel it. And I'll press really hard. I cannot feel anything there. And as that, maybe over a few sessions, starts to release and come back to life, a whole part of their sexuality returns and a whole part of their emotions and self returns. Yes, in the G-spot or in the clitoris or cervix, emotions get bolted into these places, or uterus often. Right. And, you know, so where are the temples we can go to find repair and healing? And where are the responsible, mature priests and priestesses who can do this work? Not very many of them out there, really.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah. And what is somebody who's like new, like maybe some people are listening and they're like, wow, that seems like way too extreme for me to get to where I am. If somebody wanted to sort of dip their toe in the water of what we're talking about, how would you advise them?
I think there's like a cuddling scene going on in most cities, which is really good. It's usually non-sexual, which ultimately is kind of my problem with it, because I mean, it's
cuddle buddies, right?
Just to cuddle is so important, and it kind of thaws you out to have physical touch, and a lot of it. We need it. But I think there's a couple of kind of emerging groups. They seem a little culty to me. We really need a new kind of network of people willing to give and receive sexual touch. So ultimately, anytime someone wants beautiful, loving, kind, consensual, mature contact, they can get it. Do you know how much sexual violence will immediately disappear in that kind of world? Do you know how many guys or women cheating on their partners will immediately end because people are getting the touch and contact they need? I mean, it's just such an obvious thing to make us healthy and just feel good about life on Earth, because it's such a main part of our consciousness. And if it doesn't get the right attention, we have all this sideways kind of violence and dysfunction streaming out of us.
So somebody might want to start with cuddling.
Thank you. Back to your question. Yes, there's cuddling parties or groups around. And if there's not one in your city, start one. Just get together and say, this is non-sexual. We're just going to hold each other and stroke each other's hair and tell each other how wonderful they are. You know, and just like be really kind, emotionally supportive people. The next level, I think, is where it starts to get into a little bit more of the erotic. But I don't know where to send people to find good practitioners, like who can really do good sex work. We're just not quite there yet as a civilization, but hopefully that'll change soon, you know?
And maybe, you know, maybe the people that are listening are in relationships, or, you know, whether it's sexuality, they're married, they have partners, and they can find a way to bring what we're talking about into their current relationship. Let's hope,
right? That's a great point. I think the main thing to understand is it comes through your emotions. And personal resolution of your own feelings and not looking to your partner to do that or venting on your partner is square one. Figure it out. So all you bring to your partner is kindness. I mean, there's always a place for problem solving, but do your emotional work and know that your sexuality, it's in you. That's where it starts. It's not your partner's responsibility. They can never solve you sexually. You have to find your inner enchantment and your radiance, and it's in your pelvis and other parts of your body. And the more you discover that, the more you can bring it to end. Then people kind of come and go or stay in your life, in your sexual landscape, but you always have your sexual vitality inside of you. It's a very empowered place to be.
I think that's a very different way of thinking about it. Like, our sexuality is ours, and we own it and take care of it and nurture it, and then we choose to share it with other people, you know, but we don't put it on the other person as if that it belongs to them.
Lisa, you've just said it so beautifully. Yes.
So sadly, we're almost out of time. We have a couple more minutes, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity how do people get in touch with you? How do they get this book that we've been talking about?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, my website is mysticpete.com, email info@mysticpete.com. And there's a free download of my book. I do a lot of phone consultations. So if anybody needs some spiritual counseling or in the sexual world, that's available to them. Just email me or something, and I'll try to help any way I can.
Great. And they can go to your website and download the first few chapters of the book we've been talking about, right?
Free download. And I have a bunch of videos there, and some of them silly. And I'm a little bit of a rebel and a humorist. I don't know if it came across too much in this conversation, but and I'm on radio every Saturday night at KXLU.com, so you can hear my DJ
and
show.
I am coming out to California so I can be on your radio show, okay?
Come! Love it!
Yay! That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mystic Pete. It was such a pleasure to talk to you. I hope everybody runs right over to your website and gets in touch with you and looks at your stuff, because I think it's really great.
Lisa, you're awesome. Thank you so much. What a great thing you're doing.
Thank you, honey. And thank all of you guys out there in Empower Radio Land who are listening today. This is the Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. And come and listen next week. We got some more good stuff coming to you.